one big trend I am excited about is real-time energy intelligence, using data to make fast, smart decisions. Another is AI for predictive maintenance and energy forecasting, which helps reduce waste, prevent breakdowns, and improve efficiency across the energy sectors.
For the next 10 years, we have multiple technologies that we are working on. We have product line for sodium ion, for redox flow, for supercapacitors, for zinc gel batteries, for hydrogen cells. So all these are up and coming. So we're ready for the present and also ready for the future. And that's what we're going to focus on.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals, and of course, philanthropists who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, or many such leaders, or a few, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments, and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little ecstasies of life and work. It is as much about the personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial, professional, and philanthropic journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. In this episode, we're going to focus on technological innovation in climate infrastructure space. I'm delighted to have with me Mahi Singh, COO and co-founder Kankri, and Shubham Gujar, founder, director, and CEO, Worldomate Private Limited. Mahi is a driven social entrepreneur, co-founded Kankri in 2020, that is about 5 years ago. A graduate from Nanyang Technological University in Singapore, Mahi has over 9 years of experience in strategy and marketing roles in Southeast Asia. As a social entrepreneur, Mahi also founded Dhayas, which helps fine art artists get economic independence. She was also recognized as top 50 women in energy in India by Indian Energy Storage Alliance. Shubham is the founder of Worldomate Private Limited and has received the well-known EIR Fellowship from the TIH Foundation at IIT Bombay, a BTech from Mechatronics from SRM University, Chennai. Shubham is passionate about research and development and believes that technology should help people and improve everyday life. Welcome to the show, Mahi and Shubham. Delighted to have you here. You know, my first question is to both of you, but maybe Mahi can start first. Climate tech has been commanding so much attention in the last few years, and very rightly so, because climate change has actually reached our homes, and it is only very appropriate that we talk about technology, particularly climate tech, to deal and come out with solutions that are scalable. And climate tech clearly is emerging as one of the most important tools to jointly address climate change and sustainable development. In the case of India, we have the economic goal also to juggle here, because as the economy is expanding and growing, and our aspirations, to meet our aspirations of a growing economy, will have its consequences so far as externalities in climate is concerned, and we have to juggle both economic goals and climate imperatives. What exactly does leveraging technology to address climate change mean? Essentially, what sort of innovations are we looking at, and why is it so important in the Indian context? Mahi, if you can set the context for this, and then we'll move on to Shubham later.
Thanks, Gaurav. So a very important question for anybody in this world to look at and think about. But when we talk about the technology with respect to climate change, I'd like to start by saying that it cannot be just one part of the ecosystem and the rest of it we have to wait and watch. But it has to be a problem that should be solved for the entire supply chain. So while we have a lot of AI in place that is coming up, and that is going to be phenomenal in changing or solving the problems, a lot of it also has to do in terms of the rest of the supply chain, which is the actual material development, designing, electronics of it, and so on. And that is where the opportunity also comes in. As you're seeing that there's a lot of geopolitical unrest that's happening, that's impacting the supply chain everywhere in the world. What we really have to think about is out-of-the-box ideas that solves the problem without having to, internationalize the things, but localize the things, localize the solutions. So just looking around and finding solutions that are available has to be the way forward in order for us to do something at scale and do something that is impactful. And with respect to Indian context, I think this is a great opportunity for India. I am pretty sure a lot of other countries are looking at India now with respect to changing their supply chain to India or looking for solutions. Investments that we hear about, US and Japan are actively seeking startups to invest in. So it's a great point where people are now looking towards climate-based solutions in India. And what India brings in is a great mix of AI and technology. But what this also means is that we really need to fasten up the process, get more funding in the pipeline so that we can accelerate that scale up.
Shubham, you know, if you can add to that, and given the context that Mahi had set and also elaborated on a fair degree of details about why climate tech is very important, critical in the Indian context, but what exactly are the kind of innovations that we are looking at and probably can deploy it at scale in a geography like India, Shubham?
Yes, sure, Gaurav. So it means using smart tools to reduce pollution, save energy, and protect nature. In India, it's important because we face big climate problems like heat, floods, and pollution. Technology helps us solve this faster and in a better way.
Yes, of course. You know, let's also change tack a bit. Let's talk about barriers and breakthroughs. And an interesting piece of detail is there that has in an IMA venture report by IMA Venture and Japan's MUFG Bank. It's a report of last year, 2024. It notes that less than 3% of startups have been able to reach Series B or beyond funding levels in India's climate tech ecosystem. So clearly, we are not even scratching the surface here. There's a lot of capital that is required if we actually need to develop an ecosystem which is vibrant and deployable at scale so far as climate tech is concerned in India. In your experience, Mahi, what major challenges have you faced while trying to grow your startup, and what helped you overcome them? Capital is just one aspect of it, but if you can just share briefly some of these.
So absolutely, capital is one of the things. The good thing was, so while we started bootstrapping, we also got a good funding from government and other philanthropic bodies where they had given us grants, paid pilots. Like we received United Nations 2 grants, Act for Environment grants, and many more government grants by DST. The quantum was lesser. So while there's availability, the quantum is not at par with a hard tech based climate solution. So that has been there. And I'm hoping and I'm seeing that a lot of call for proposals are now coming up wherein they have increased the quantum. So I'm pretty hopeful there. But apart from the capital aspect of it, which I think almost all the founders agree at some level, the other things that comes in is the penetration in the market. So when we talk about climate change and specifically where Kankri sits in, so Kankri is in the battery supply chain. Now, this is a highly sophisticated supply chain where even a single change is something that customers are not willing to do, even though it may bring them some cost advantage or it can bring them sustainability, which actually they don't really look at currently. But the gestation period is really long for these customers, and a lot of awareness and hand-holding is required for these customers. they are not really aware of the material development in most cases. So that is why that has been something that we had to struggle in the beginning, where we had to do a lot of education to these customers on the importance of material development, for example, and how it actually changes the chemistry or how it impacts the chemistry. So I think for climate tech customers, awareness is something that you have to be patient with. You have to give them some time to adopt it, as well as you have to really push them and make them see through that this is what it's going to bring in at a cost level. So everything in this conversation has always come down to that cost. So we have tried to create that narrative with the customers. And then once we identified that, it was then an easier ride, where now customers are more comfortable around adopting this or trying this. So that customer awareness, I think, is something that is always there. That is a barrier. The second barrier, specifically in our case, has been the fact that while we are doing an advanced technology development, the infrastructure to develop like this is something which is not very conducive, in the sense that when we talk about the machines that are using, most of them are highly customized. And what we wanted to focus was, we want everything to be in India, and we didn't want anything to be imported from anywhere else. But it took us some time to actually develop that. So what we identified was, again, the sophistication is not yet there. It's not available everywhere. You have to really dig in. You have to spend a lot of money in order for in order for getting that sophistication in the machines, which we didn't have. So then we did a lot of internal R&D and then customized the machinery, which was in a budget for a startup. So that infrastructure is not there. Then the third thing, that barrier that we have seen, is this is with respect to the vision of the company. Our vision is really to create a sustainable supply chain. But what we are seeing is customers do not really pay attention much to that aspect, or not at all to that aspect. And that is also because the policies are not in place. So we really need to have policies in place, because these customers have their own issues with the low margin. So if they are going to adopt something, that's going to take some time and some money. So how can we actually ensure some sort of parity through policy, where it becomes easier for these customers to adopt these solutions and get some advantage out of it? One example of it is, can we do some sort of a rebate when another company or a customer is adopting a sustainable solution, that is a certified solution, or also introducing carbon credit to even MSMEs? So I think these kind of policies will really push through or accelerate the adoption. So these are some of the challenges that we were facing, but now we have kind of grown out of it through experience and learnings.
Great. Shubham, very briefly, would you like to highlight some of the challenges besides capital, of course, which remains a challenge for a country like India?
Well, I think funding has never been a bottleneck for us. Getting pilot opportunities, access to labs, testing infrastructure and resources were the major challenges we faced. What really helped was support from government schemes, Startup India, and platform like Entice, GIAC, TIH Foundation, IIT Bombay, EMA, IntelliSmart. They gave us the right exposure, guidance, and space to build and test our solutions.
You know, let's do a bit of a deep dive. First, Mahi, on Kankri, you did allude to some part of it in the previous response. You were turning industrial waste into cutting edge material for energy storage. For my benefit, and also the benefit of our listeners, what kind of waste are you using, and how does it power better batteries? You know, qualitatively, how are you moving on to the next level by using what kind of waste? Because this is a technology that is, it's going on to the next level and trying to use a technology that previously was not deployed at scale. However, while trying to develop this technology and put it to use, What are the toughest parts of getting this tech off the ground?
Let's start with understanding what Cancri is. So Cancri is a technology where we transform agri waste or paper waste, any waste that has lignocellulosic component, into advanced nanocarbons. And these carbons goes in the cathode of the batteries and increases the performance in terms of higher life cycle as well as faster charging. So this is in a nutshell what Cancri does. The kind of waste that we have used more than 15 different types of waste. That includes paper waste, agri waste. Within agri waste, we've used coconut shell, sugarcane bagasse, fruit nut shell, teak wood, multiple leaves, and so on. We have also used bamboo. Then we talk about paper waste. These are post-industrial waste that we have used. Again, they have performed phenomenal. Then we have used municipal seaweed sludge. We have used chicken poop. We have even used human hair. We have also tried with my own hair, some small part of my hair, that we've made Cancri out of it. So more than 15 different types of waste have been used in order to make this. And here we have developed a process that is delivering a very high quality of end product. And we have customized it at a molecular level on things like what is the pore size, the surface area, volume, conductivity, and the functionality that is present at a molecular level. And these black colored powder goes in the batteries and increases the performance substantially. So we have proven this performance improvement across multiple battery technologies, be it lead acid, the traditional lead acids, lithium ions, sodium ion, redox flow, supercapacitors, and many more. So that's where it comes in. And in terms of how did we take it off? So Akshay, he's the other co-founder and CEO. So he did his PhD from National University of Singapore. It's when he had developed this technology. And what we did was that was a technology that was developed in lab with highly sophisticated machinery. And what we identified was, can we scale it up? And that's when in 2020, Akshay and I started this. And we identified that we want to create this material here in India at a level that can be easily scaled up. And that's when we worked on customizing, bringing down the cost drastically, at the same time actually improving the performance more than the lab. And that's how we started at a very small level, where we were making 900 grams per month to start with. And currently we are at a scale where we are making 100 kilograms per month. And soon by end of this year, we'll be making around 1 ton per month. So essentially, how did we take it off was by ensuring, first of all, that we are always producing in line with the demand. We have never produced anything which is more than the demand. Always in line with the demand. So whatever we had made, everything has been sold out. That's number one. Number two is we have focused on modular expansion. So instead of immediately expanding to X amount and then getting the orders, we focused on making a strong customer pipeline and then creating this modular way of expansion where we can scale it up without having to take a lot of burden of the CapEx and the OpEx.
Shubham, your solutions help automate and optimize how we use energy. How big is this in terms of potential savings? You just help us understand this. What is the kind of savings that this is going to yield, both for households or industries? How do you believe automation is key to fighting climate change?
There is a huge potential for savings. In household, automation can reduce energy waste by 15% to 20%. In industries, it can be even higher depending on the process. Automation is the key because it helps us track and control energy in real time. For example, people often forget to switch off things or don't notice overuse. Automation fixes that. It makes systems smarter, more efficient, and less polluting without needing big lifestyle changes. We can save around 63.6 million units of energy annually, which means preventing 50.2 kilotons of CO2 emission from entering the atmosphere.
Great. A question for both of you, very briefly. You know, if you look ahead in particular in terms of innovation and evolution, and we are at a phase of human history where things are changing very, very rapidly. The transformation is so rapid and so visible that it's changing our lives in a manner that we probably could not have imagined, say, 10 years ago. And that's true of climate tech also, because climate tech is also at this, if climate tech has to really leave a visible impact on, positive impact on humanity, it also needs to evolve constantly, not just constantly, also rapidly. And for climate tech, it is also very significant because it's dealing with a crisis that is very dynamic. It is probably worsening almost every year. Mahi and Shubham later, what are some of the trends or innovations in the energy transition space that you are most excited about? What is something that keeps you probably awake because you are very excited about what's happening here?
Absolutely. I think climate change is visible because I am from Jaipur, and we are seeing the shifts in the weather. The intensity of summer is getting more, and same for winter. So it's actually pretty visible. And one thing that I am very excited about in terms of development, because I can see that happening in action on ground, is the development in the solar space and e-rickshaw space. And I'm a little biased here because Kankri has sold around 100 megawatt hour worth of batteries in the market. And majority of these are in the application of solar and e-rickshaw. So what we are seeing is that there's a huge upsurge of these kind of batteries that's also positively driven by the policy that government is making for industrial currently. But we are also looking at these policy translated into a domestic application, which is the energy storage, where government is trying to include energy storage within the solar application as a must-have. And what it brings is a lot of reduction in the dependency on the grid electricity, and just creating our own and storing it and reusing when the solar is not available. At the same time, this is also good for Kankri because that directly plugs in the demand that we're going to see. With Kankri, these solar applications are actually seeing a 15% reduction in dollar per kilowatt hour. So we are excited because we are part of that supply chain. And then we talk about e-rickshaw. I think other than the fact that e-rickshaw is more eco-friendly, the other thing is that we're seeing is it's generating revenue for marginal community. We are seeing a good amount of employment that it is bringing in. Again, little partial here because what Kankri is doing is the batteries are performing better and they're getting more revenue out of it. So I am excited for both of these applications. And we are also seeing that a variation of e-rickshaws are also getting developed in different parts of the world where this is a promising last mile delivery opportunities. At the same time, solar is a must have that is something that the world is adopting. So yeah, so these two technologies, I'm really excited about.
Shubham, you know, what is something that is keeping you very excited and you're really looking forward to those kind of innovations?
One big trend I am excited about is real-time energy intelligence, using data to make fast, smart decisions. Another is AI for predictive maintenance and energy forecasting, which helps reduce waste, prevent breakdowns, and improve efficiency across the energy sectors.
You know, both Mahi and Shubham, both of you are running scalable startups in an area that is affecting our lives, and you're trying to solve, bring about fundamental solutions to fundamental problems at scale. How do you see your company and the broader Indian climate tech sector, situated within the broader Indian climate tech sector, evolving over the next 5 to 10 years? If you crystal gaze both about Indian climate tech and about your company, what would be the picture like? Mahi first and then Shubham.
So absolutely. I think one thing is for sure, if any climate tech company needs to make sense, it has to have a long life. It has to be, it has to make sense at scale. So for us, scalability is something that we have already foreseen for the next 10 years. One of the reasons is that when we talk about battery domain, it's very dynamic. It's changing at a very fast pace. Every other day, we are hearing about new chemistry that's bringing in the industry. And that is where Cancri's value prop or strategic advantage lies. It's in the fact that we are able to cater to multiple battery technologies, and we are actually replacing the critical material and the toxic material or the fossil fuel based material with Cancri's sustainable material. So, and this is something that can be made, as you mentioned, from the backyard of our homes. And that is essentially what we are bringing in. So for the next 10 years, we have multiple technologies that we are working on. We have product line for sodium ion, for redox flow, for supercapacitors, for zinc gel batteries, for hydrogen cells. So all these are up and coming. So we're ready for the present and also ready for the future. And that's what we're going to focus on.
Shubham, how do you see your company in the next 5 to 10 years? And also about how do you envision the Indian climate sector evolving during that period?
In the next 5 to 10 years, we see Voltamet helping more industries and public systems become smarter and more climate friendly, and the Indian climate tech sector growing rapidly with more local innovations, stronger policies, and wider adoption of clean technologies.
Also, I'm seeing for Indian context in the climate changes, something that I've said earlier as well, is the fact that a huge opportunity is there for India. And I am pretty positive that with the right amount of funding and the right timing, we can lead this because we have the access to both the AI as well as manufacturing expertise is something that we can easily develop. So India can become a leader in climate change also because it's something that is embedded in our lifestyle as Indians. So I think I'm pretty hopeful that if the funding comes in for the scale up and also these policies are emphasized, India can become a leader.
Absolutely. It's good to hear the kind of bullishness from people like you that are trying to solve fundamental problems affecting millions and billions, billions of households actually across the world. Let's talk about the ENTICE impact, the ENTICE program run by the Global Energy Alliance for People and Planet, which aims to encourage innovation in clean energy solutions. We need impactful, lasting solutions that can be replicated at scale. How did ENTICE help move your solution forward, Shubham?
For me, ENTICE was like getting an MBA in the startup ecosystem. It gave us much more than visibility. We received expert feedback, mentorship, and a chance to refine our solution for scale. We also got funding opportunities from all the investors invited at ENTICE. The connection we made opened doors to pilots and partnerships. Platforms like these are essential because early stage startups need the right push, support, and trust to grow and create real impact.
Mahi, what did it offer? What did ENTICE offer beyond just visibility? And what makes such platforms essential for early stage innovation?
All those things that Shubham has said, it's all rightly put. On top of that, one of the very interesting things that had happened was the boot camp. So the boot camp was where all the founders came together, and there was a good series of masterclasses, interactions that were present. And these startups, all of us were at different point in time and at different level of our journeys. So we interacted, we shared our thoughts, and we identified. One thing was it gave us encouragement that we all are in the same boat, seeing the same kind of problems and same kind of issues are happening. And then firstly, that kind of motivated that even after that, the companies which are at higher stage had pushed through it, and this is a doable thing. You don't have to really worry about it. That was number one. Number two was there were different perspectives that these founders had brought in, and that kind of also made our story building more strong. So these kind of platforms really help us tighten our story, tighten our narrative. At the same time, also help us look through beyond the tactical problems and really see what we are building at scale. So really giving us that exposure of, you know, the different problems that startups can see, how can we solve them. And also the fact that, you know, interacting with subject matter experts. So I think once we were not getting the funding, we were like, if the funding comes in, that will solve the problem. But after the funding, you would need a lot of expertise to ensure that you are not really out there making mistakes and learning from it, because startups cannot afford this. So you really need to have that expert guidance and those people that you can reach out to. So even after the program, we have reached out to GIAB for our problem solution, from our problem solving. We had a lot of queries and they were very happy to help us. So we know that there is this huge expertise that is sitting there that we can tap onto. And that gives a huge amount of encouragement and a huge amount of support for any startup.
Indeed, absolutely right. Finally, if you were to advise to someone who wants to start out on solving climate problems, but do not know where to start, what is that one piece of advice or a couple of advices that you'd give?
Well, I'd like to start by saying, give yourself a pat on the back for thinking about it in the first place. It took me a couple of years to really, you know, take that step and really go out and work towards it. So that is definitely a great first step if you're thinking about it. The next thing is that you need to really, you need your 100% commitment, because this is more than making money. This is solving real problems, impacting lives in real time, and requires a lot of dedication, commitment, and patience. So definitely, patience is the key. So if you have the right amount of these ingredients, you will definitely be able to make it. At the same time, I also wanted to say that reach out to people, reach out to these incubations, reach out to these platforms like Entice. And why I say that is just by filling up the form, that's number one learning that we get. Even for us, when we had just started, we had applied to various programs and we got rejected to a lot of them. But the way that the forms were structured, they kind of helped us shape up the problem. So do apply to as many as you can with different perspectives and identify how you shape up your narrative. That also really pushes you to think through it. So that's learning number one. Learning number two is be present, be attentive whenever anybody is getting this opportunity. This is not just a regular boot camp wherein you would just go there and, you know, you will just pass with a couple of days and then be done with it. But it's actually learning, and more than financial support, it's the networking and the learnings that you would take, and that's going to help. So yeah, so I think these are some important things that has really helped Cancri.
Absolutely. Shubham, final word from you. What is that piece of advice that you'd give to someone who is planning to start out or thinking of starting out, but do not know how to start and where to start?
I would say, don't fall in love with your idea. Fall in love with the real problem. Focus on solving it in the simplest way possible. Less is often better. Start small. Stay curious and let real-world feedback guide you.
Very well said. Indeed, you have to fall in love with the problem and only then you can scale it. Absolutely. Mahi and Shubham, thank you so much for sharing your deep insights and perspective on a range of issues. Thank you for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you so much, Gaurav, for having us. It was a great conversation.
Thank you, Gaurav. Thank you.